Well, we've been talking about doing life together, and you have your Bibles turned to John 3:16. Susie's doing a great class back there for School for Life, and Kristen's going to be a part of that, and talking about discipleship and mentoring and coaching and relationships. I want to encourage you to come out for that every Sunday, 9:30. Let's look at John 3:16. In doing life together, God's got a part, and we've got a part. And you've got to have both working. And I won't preach all of last week's message, but we'll just share a little bit here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And it wasn't just words saying, I love you, which is great. We need to say that, and we need to tell people that we're, you know, that we love them, that we care for them. But then we back it up, our words, with action. And aren't you glad that God backed up His word? For God so loved the world that He gave, He shared, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. And many people out there think God's the one that's condemning. He's not. He's the one giving. He's the one blessing. Didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. God desires all men, all women, all boys, all girls, everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All 7 billion of us. He wants saved. He wants to be a part of His family. And He wants to bless them. And I don't know how He does it, but He's got enough for everybody. He wants to share. You know, He's into sharing. And I read the definition of sharing last week. It means to divide and distribute. It means to partake of or enjoy with others, to have in common, to tell your thoughts, your feelings, and your experiences to others. God wants to do all of that with us. He wants to share with His kids. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us His very life. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us an inheritance, which I could just spend the rest of the year preaching on the inheritance that we have in Christ. He gives us knowledge. He gives us revelation. He explains things to us. And He wants to be just like a child, secure in their family. He wants us to be secure in Him, never wavering, never doubting, but to be secure in that relationship that we have with Him. So, and I won't go into all I talked about it last week, but God has His part. And He has demonstrated His love. And His love is available to all of us, but we have to receive it. And the more that we grow in that revelation of God's love for us, the more we're able to love others. And there's a correlation there between that of our ability to capacity. It needs to grow. And Paul prayed it in Ephesians that to pray for each other, to be able to receive and understand and grasp this love. But the more we have the revelation, the more it grows in our hearts, the more we're able to love others. And if you don't have God's love, you can't love others. So God's got His part. And then we've got our part. And let's look over to Acts chapter 2 again. How many know we can learn a lot from the book of Acts? These are our, this is our family here. This is who we're connected with. This is who we're related to. This is our heritage. And, you know, the Bible says they turned their world upside down. They reached their world with the gospel. And so there's definitely things that we can learn from them. But we're not to just do what they did. We're to outdo them. The latter house is to be greater than the former. That's God's plan. So we can learn, but that's just a standard for us to shoot for. And by the grace of God, we're going to go beyond that standard. But Acts 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly. You need to underline those two words, continued steadfastly. See, you got to cooperate with God. You got to show up. And we've got a lot of people missing in action. But you got to, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily, underline continuing daily, See some here? They participated, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's God's plan, to be adding daily. Not to a building, because the building's not the church. Adding to the people, adding, that's what the church is, it's people. Adding to the church daily those being saved. And so in a healthy body, people are being added. Lives are being impacted. And I shared one of the words here that's an amazing word that you can just pass over, is the word fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. And, you know, we can say, you know, the word fellowship, and it means something, probably something different to every one of us. But a lot of times it has just connotation of maybe just sharing about football, or sharing with family at Thanksgiving, or sharing about the weather, or maybe sharing an experience that happened. But fellowship here is much more than that. It's the Greek word koinonia. And this word means to share. It means to have unity, close association, a partnership, a communion, contributory help. It's a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood. It says where individuals come together as one for a common cause greater than themselves. I like to say it's friends with a cause. Friends with a cause. It's not just, you know, sharing stories with each other about our lives, but there's a purpose behind the fellowship. There's a purpose to the relationship, and it's something bigger than ourselves. It's a community where people share with each other. And sharing is at the heart of fellowship, just like sharing is at the heart of God. It's at the, you know, that's what He did. He demonstrated His love by sharing, by giving. He backed up His words. And so if we're going to be a community of believers coming together, we're going to have to share. And I'll get into really why later on, but it's pretty important that we do it. It's really vital for your health as a person for you to share and to learn how to share. And they had rich sharing going on in the early church, so much so that they sold lands and properties, and they sold things, valuable things, so that others could have, so that the gospel could be promoted. I mean, they sacrificed so others could have. That they had such community, they didn't want others to be without if they had an abundance. And they're looking out for each other, care for each other. And it was the kind of community where the people, and I'll talk more about that, but people were noticing that, and they saw that love and that community, and they saw that sharing, and it was unlike anything they've ever seen before. Because Jesus introduced what, you know, the Greek word agape. Jesus introduced to the earth unconditional love. He introduced a love that had never been seen before. And that love is so powerful, it's attractive, it's a light, it's a power, it's a force. And so many people in the world are looking for that love. It's what they need, it's what they want, but they're doing all these other things to try to get what we've got. And it's wrapped up in a person called Jesus. And you receive that love, but then that love comes in and it saves you and it transforms you and it renews your mind and works on the inside and it releases, you know, your spirit, the real you, that new creation on the inside. As you begin to grow and mature, that love becomes, as a force and a power, comes out of you. And the same thing God did in your life, God uses you to do that in other people's lives. But there's all different aspects of sharing, and we have to learn to share. You know, what's the with kids? What's the first thing that happens when they have toys and, you know, they're playing games? What happened? We got to get them, teach them how to share. I mean, how many parents have done that with their kids, and then they'll get mad and they'll pitch a fit and they'll say, "No, it's mine. It's my toy. You gave it to me. It's mine. No, but you have to share. It's for everybody. We have all these kids here and, you know, and we have these toys and we need to share. No, it's mine. And so what do? We teach our kids to share, and we do it in all kind of different ways, and some ways really aren't good, but, you know. Because we want them to be a blessing. We want them to know how to share. Well, it's the same thing as we have unbelievers coming into our body. We have people that maybe even been walking with God, but they're still babies in Christ. And so they think it's all about them, which is okay. And they are saying, it's mine. And they're taking, and they, you know, it's all really about them. And so part of church and part of a church body is to teach people, no, it's not all about you. Again, we try to do it in a loving, gracious way, but we're trying to get you to say, yeah, you have all this blessings, but you need to share. So we're teaching people to share. And here's the kind of things that we want people to share. And I've listed five, but there's probably more. But these are things that we have to learn to share. We need to share of ourselves. How many know you can hold back yourself from people? Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you're kind of a loner. Maybe, you know, all kind of reasons why we hold back. You know, it's a risk to share yourself with others. You could be rejected. But I've always been a kind of person, you got to take big risks to have big results. So you're going to have to take risks in your life. And one of the things is, you know, sharing yourself. And part of sharing yourself is telling people your story. But it's not just always you telling your story. You know, He gave us two ears and one mouth. We probably should be listening twice as much as we talk. Point to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. That was a little just too real there. You're like, he's talking to you, buddy. You better pay attention. You need this message. But whenever you're pointing one finger at them, three fingers are coming back at you. So you need to point like this. He's talking to you. Sharing ourselves. And then we share and care for each other. I grew up in the Catholic community, and on our block we had 13 houses on one side, 13 on the other. And there were so many kids on our block. I mean, the Catholics, they know how to keep kids, man. It's in their training manual. I don't know. They just know how to have them. But, I mean, we had 9, 10. Ours was 5 kids in our family, and we were one of the smaller families. There were kids everywhere. You couldn't walk anywhere without running into somebody. But, you know, in this community, and we went to the same church, we went to the same school, we had the similar values, we cared for each other, we looked out for each other. Someone had something going on, we'd cut their grass, bring them a pie, I mean, do stuff for them. It was just all, that was just community. That's just the way it was. That's the way we grew up. And but I know today it seems like we're so fragmented. And community is kind of lost because of, you know, and it's just the whole world we live in is so divisive. Division, Republicans, Democrats, black, white, rich, poor. I mean, it's just so many divisions. The community is really lost in this generation. And so we have to learn community. And we have to learn how to share. But part of being in the same family is we care about the welfare of each other. How each one is doing. Do they have needs? And it goes along right along with the next one. We share our resources. In the early church, they shared their resources. They shared their gifts. They shared their time. And I don't know about you, but time is very valuable today. And it's almost like if someone can share their time, I mean, that's one of the most valuable things you can share. but then to share your giftings. And in all these things, it's so easy to withhold. To withhold for yourself. But God wants us to share. And in this sharing that we're talking about leads to, and see, and again, this is what I'm talking about here is, in this sharing, is what we call giving life. Our mission here is empowering people to give life. And so when we talk about giving life, we're talking about sharing what God has given us. So we share ourselves. We share and care for each other. We share our finances. We share our time. We share our gifting. But here at Good News Church, we think about giving life, and we take it a step further, is we want you to share those things. And these are how you learn to share. But we want you to take it a step further and then take ownership of the Great Commission, which involves getting people saved and raising up disciples. Is we don't feel that the job of the Great Commission is just for the pastor. We don't feel that the job of the Great Commission is just for the highly anointed special people. That everybody has a part to play. And so not only we want you to now share in sharing the gospel, we want you to share and be able to share with others to get them healed. We want you to be able to share and minister to others, minister life, the same life that you received, to be able to share it. But then this is another part to it, and this is where mentoring and coaching and relationships come in. And that's what we talked about, you know, Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, where now we're looking out for others. And not just the pastor's job or the minister's job or the youth pastor's job or the children's minister's job. That was all of our jobs to help make disciples. That we've got people in our lives that we're pouring into, pouring what we've learned. I've been at this for 30 years. Walking with God. I've learned a few things. Many of you have been longer, some shorter. But we have an obligation to the weaker person to help them become stronger. Now, you can't do it for everybody here, but as you share and as you participate, God will put people in your lives that you're to share wisdom and knowledge and things with. So it's in this sharing that we give life. And you have life because people have shared with you. Amen. How many here have had people pour into your life? Are you appreciative? But I want you to be that same thing. And maybe you're not ready right now, but I hope you're moving towards it. I want that same thing of that those that poured into you, that you would pour into others. That's God's plan. That's God's way. So we're talking about giving life. Sharing and giving life, it's the same thing. And the early church had this. They had this fellowship. And if you understand this, you understand as you're reading the book of Acts, why they were so effective and why they were so powerful. And so the church is to be a place of generous sharing. And we learn about sharing in relationships. And we learn by example. And so we're talking about the early church. They met in big groups, but then they met from house to house. They met in smaller groups. And I understand this. Anybody here played football? And, you know, when you play football, obviously you got the whole team there, and you'll work out together, you know, calisthenics and do different things, and you'll get together, and the coach will speak to you, and you're preparing for the game, the next game. But then, what does he do? Breaks you up into squads. Breaks you up, and the receivers go practice together. Not the whole time, but they go practice together. The linemen go practice together. Defense, they... And so, they break up into squads, and they work together. But then they come together, back together for the big group. Then they play, you know, together. But they learn things in that small group that they... There's more time for teaching. There's more time for learning. There's more time for growing. More time to ask questions. You know, what we're having right here is not a discussion. I'm ministering, but I mean, I would love to do this sometime, is to be able to go inside each of your brains, because God's revealing different things to each one of you. as long as you're paying attention. If you're thinking about fried chicken and football, well then. We're not having a discussion here, but in a smaller setting, you can have discussion. You see how rich that can be? Well, what did you mean by that? And I've got a question here. It's just not effective in a large group to do it that way. There's a place for this. But then there's a place in a smaller setting. If you've been in the military, I went to a military high school. Our groups were divided up into squads. We had a squad, a platoon, company, a battalion. And we did things as a battalion, and we had to march and do different things. But the basic unit was a squad. This is where we learned things. This is where we practiced how to salute, how to do different, how to march, all different things. We learned it as a squad. Then we came together in the big group. And it's the same thing. So I can see the benefit of having small groups, and we're going to life groups. We've done Express, and we did it for years, but we just felt like we needed to take a break and look at things, and we're going to start groups again, but we're going to do it in a different way. Give people opportunities to do other things, because it was kind of a defined way we were doing Express. It was meet once a month. It was mainly for care and for connection, and we're going to do some things differently coming up. But I can see the benefit of breaking up into small groups to learn and to grow. And then what's happening? We're learning how to share. You learn by example. You learn by coaching. You learn by teaching. You learn by asking questions. And that kind of training can is better in a smaller group setting to do that. So you can really see the power of what God wants to do. Now look over in Acts 4. Smaller groups, you have opportunities for deeper relationships. It's more intimate, more opportunity to ask questions, share revelations, share your story, let others share their story. Deeper discussions. Acts 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. Could you imagine a place like that? It's going to take a revelation. It's going to take faith to believe for that. Neither did anyone say any of the things he possessed was his own. They weren't saying mine. They were saying yours. They had all things in common. And then look at the results of this kind of sharing that was going on. A high level sharing. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Say, great grace was upon them all. And nor was there anyone among them who lacked. And that word great is the word in the Greek. It's megas. It means huge. It means big. It means enormous. And the word grace is the word charis. And it means unmerited favor. It means God's ability added to your ability. But in this context, the way it's used, it means grace working through people, treating others with favor and grace and goodwill and loving kindness and benevolence and generosity. It means they were impacted by God's love, impacted by God's grace so much that it came upon them all and began to work out towards others. Can you see how powerful this would be if a group could get a hold of this? Even if just a small group. I've heard of people I was reading the other day about a group. I was like, four guys started this Bible study, and they just kept on adding and adding, and they had these principles working. One time they got to be 35. Had to break it up and start more. If you see why the devil fights us coming together? You see how difficult it is? Why marriage is difficult? Why families are difficult? And then, you know, talk about then all these different people coming together. It's impossible unless God's love is there in the midst. And we have to believe for this. We have to pray for this. But then we have to participate and we have to be willing to share. And we that great grace is there. We have to allow it by faith to flow through. But you've got to give God something to work with. Many people today, we're just holding back. I've done that at various times in my life. I've just held back from Susie, or held back from my kids, or held back from friends, or held back from the church. There's times as a pastor, I've held back. All kind of reasons why you do it. Again, you're hurt, you're mad, you're offended. You've taken risks and you were rejected. Well, I'm just not going to share anymore. They just don't appreciate me. You know, and all of us, and you know, probably some of us are dealing with it right now. Offense. That's just the enemy's trick. Offense in Mark chapter 4, it steals the word. It steals the from you bearing fruit. He's trying to isolate us and divide us. And how easy does that happen in church? You know, and I say this all the time, I'm one offense away from you leaving. How many times people have come, I almost left the church, Pastor. This situation happened. And you know, and again, I understand these situations, and I know they're real to you, but we're not in life-threatening situations here where they're going to take you out back and shoot you for your faith. And some of the things that we get offended about, good gracious. I mean, people in other, I mean, over in China, they would just laugh at some of the things we're offended about. What? We got a little soft over here. A little limp-wristed. Hello? Anybody out there? Gotten a little comfortable in our nice little green chairs. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, don't go any further with this. And that's what really a lot of the pastors are doing. We're about making you comfortable. We don't want to, you know, mess anything up with your little world that you got going, your little Christian world, your little Christian bubble. We don't want to go around any sinners because their sin may rub off on us. That's not the Jesus, the example I saw in the Bible. He made a point of being around sinners. He made a point of reaching them. Now, I'm not saying for you to go hang out in bars and nightclubs. That's not what I'm saying. But you can hang around with people and reach them that are going to bars and nightclubs. God will bring people in your path. And we're learning to share. We're learning to give. Okay, I'll get off that. We'll go on. Move on. People aren't liking it. Having high regard and esteem for each other. I love that when they say brothers and sisters. We call each other brother. I know it's kind of corny and kind of old school. But we call each other brother. We call each other sister. Now, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Verse 16, the New Living Translation says this: He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. You've got special work in you. Each part does its own special work. And it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. Now, and there's some powerful things there. Talk about being joined together, knit together. Now, knit together. I've got some yarn here. Some pieces of yarn. This is pretty, isn't it? Pretty color. And I've got these pieces of yarn, and I can do some really cool things. I can make a headband. I can make maybe a wristband. I can make a ring. I can make a little scarf. I can try to warm myself at night. Oh, that feels so good. And, you know, this is good. These strings are good. This yarn's good. Individually, it's awesome. I mean, it's beautiful. It can do things with it. But how many know when you, and I'm not a knitter, so I don't even know what you do to knit. Do I have any people that knit here? One bold hand here, a few hands. And you know, it's a mystery to me. It's magic. How you take this and you knit this together, it's magic. Right? It's just you have a wand and you just wave it and it just... No, there's a process to it. And I don't know what it is, but there's a process to it. And there's little things that you use to knit, whatever they do with that. Okay. But through the knitting process, these things become together, bound together. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's like these individual pieces are going to come together. Rick, got my prop there. This is official here. What's in here? Wrong. I made this last night. I'm really good. I was just fooling about not knowing how to knit. Maddie Sue made this. It was a lot of pieces of yarn. And she made this, and, you know, and again, this is really cool. I mean, this is, you can do a lot with that. Tug of war, I mean, there's this whole, you know, a lot of things you can do with that. But I think this is a little more powerful. When I see Grayson, you know, watching TV, you know, it's getting colder out, and he's got his little thing, you know. This is Grayson. But that's what God wants to do. And how does it do it? But you got to make yourself, you got to, in this piece of yarn probably doesn't want to be in this, but I mean, you've got to make yourself available. You got to share. You got to be willing to step out. And it may be a little painful, the knitting process.
Yeah, that's good.
If you don't participate and you don't even try to share, something beautiful is not going to happen.
Right.
So you got to make yourself available. And look at what God wants to do in this body. He wants to bring us together. I can't even, you know, it's just all woven. It's just together. It's just an amazing thing. It's supernatural.
Yeah.
And He wants to do that in this body, but you're going to have to cooperate in unison and listen to this, how important it is. Excuse me. I'm just so excited about my yarn. Listen to this. This is Ben Campbell Johnson paraphrase. As we continue to share honestly with each other. Listen to this now. As we continue, this is Ephesians 4 verse 16. Ben Campbell Johnson paraphrase. As we continue to share honestly with each other, we help one another grow to full potential as Christ persons. Our sharing causes other people to grow. Do you see that if we hold back, this is honestly sharing, not some kind of fake plastic put on our Sunday best. Got to act a certain way, say all the right things. I'm talking about real love, real sharing, honesty,
yes.
Speaking the truth in love.
Yes.
And as we share, and as God's working, as we share with each other, iron sharpened iron happens. And we're just so busy. We got all these things going on. We don't really understand what God's doing in this body. And then we'll start a small group and we'll, you know, go for a week or two and then get bored with it and then stop. Not realizing that God wants to do real growth in our lives. And I'll tell you, and I'm not looking at anybody, I'll look up at the stained glass window. It's very beautiful back there. Not looking at anybody here, but the people that are sitting here today that are withholding and not sharing of themselves and time and resources and sharing, they're not growing. I can look at you now. They're not growing. They're really dead weight. They're really kind of in the way of things. And then they're wondering why they're not getting more out of church. Now, I'm not talking about people that are just coming and just getting saved and just, you know, still baby Christians. I'm talking about people that have been here a while for whatever reason. And I'm sure there's good reasons. Maybe I'm to blame. It's very possible. I want to give you a revelation. I am not perfect. That's a shock, isn't it? And brace yourself, Johnny. I know it's like, it's just tough. I just hate to pop your bubble, but I am not perfect. And so your offense may be with me. But I just got a few words for you today. Get over it. Get over it and look at the big picture of what God's trying to do, because we're letting the devil get us offended and to get us to withhold and not share and not come together. To isolate us, he wants us isolated so that the enemy can work on you, get you off from the group. That's his strategy, divide and conquer. And so he's using all these little things. And I don't even make fun of it, because some of them are very little petty, and I know it's real to you. It's huge to you. But the enemy just takes that and he just magnifies it and magnifies it and takes this and takes that until this little molehill is into a mountain. And he's tying this up. But I tell you, the way to overcome offense and the way to overcome all that division is to share, is to give, is to bless, is to get away from yourself and stop focusing on yourself and start focusing on others. Because when you start focusing on others, you help them grow and you will grow. Who here wants to grow? Who here wants to stagnate, dry up, and die? Shrivel up like a raisin. Who? Any takers for that? Or do you want to be healthy and do you want to grow? Or do you want to be a part of this? But see, the power of this is not just when we come together. The power of this is when we leave here. Because iron sharpens iron. We embolden each other. We bring courage to each other. We strengthen us each other. And we get out there and come Sunday after church. Man, we're just out all over this city. We're just out giving life. And we're giving life and we're giving life and we're giving life. And we're draining and we're getting lower and lower until Wednesday. And then bam, Susie gets up there and hits us with more stuff. And then, you know.
Right.
But then we got our small groups. Woo! Man, they're getting together. I had to wake somebody up. I get our small groups together. And they're just chewing on each other. Sharing, just giving. And man, they're just ready to blast off. And they leave out of their small group meeting and they just go out there. They're just giving life wherever they go. And they're growing and they're happy. people that are sharing are happy. You got to get out behind yourself. Come and learn how to share. And if you've got some issues with me or anybody else, because it's hurting you often, come talk to me. Come talk. That's the Bible way. Let's get it worked out. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. And I need to get in better shape. So I can do these illustrations. Because I'd be doing cartwheels if I could. Because I'm so happy. This is the what I call giving life cycle. Here's the giving life cycle. Sharing or giving life leads to stronger connections. Sharing, giving life leads to stronger connections. And we're looking for relationships to be formed. And God's doing, we're not making it happen, but the Paul, the Barnabas, the Timothy. Paul's the father, the mother, the mentor, the teacher. Barnabas, brothers and sisters. Iron sharpens iron, working through things together. Timothy, sons and daughters, people you're pouring into. You can't, if you don't share, you're not going to be connected with someone. That's just part of a connection. All of these relationships has to be sharing involved. No connection can happen. We're not going to have that blanket if people aren't sharing their threads. And when you do that, when you share, you're in God's realm. And through His love, Colossians talks about knit together in love. It's love. It's His power. It's His grace that brings us together. He's the one that does that. But we have to be willing and cooperating with Him. Then God uses the sharing to knit us and join us together. And again, it's for a purpose. It's for a cause. The stronger the connections leads to spiritual growth. You get that? The sharing leads to connections. The stronger the connection, the joint, the knitting, the knit, the stronger that is, the greater the growth. Isn't that what we want? We thought that growth just came from you sitting and hearing the word. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. I grew really fast as a new believer because I had a lot of small groups I was involved in. I went to the Catholic Church. I was in a Lutheran campus ministry house. I was in a charismatic prayer group where I learned to prophesy for the first time in a safe place. Made a lot of mistakes, but they were loving and they were caring. Had a mentor. I was in the Campus Crusade for Christ evangelical group. The group I went to San Diego and Panama with, and went to the St. Cloud and Evangelot, where I grew up or where I was going to school. I had all these different groups and parts. And then I had my brother Pat, a Barnabas. We got saved at the same time. I can just see it today. Us, after going to a meeting or going to church, we'd go to Perkins, which is the Minnesota Waffle House. Perkins is the Minnesota Waffle House. Embers and Perkins. And we went to Perkins, and we would go and sit there for hours talking about the word, talking about the things we're growing, sharing with each other. And when we walked out of there, we might have been so discouraged coming in, but just even the two of us, we were a small group, even the two of us, iron sharpened iron, we came out of those times together ready to conquer the world. See what God, the enemy's just fighting this, fighting these relationships, fighting us being together, using everything he can think of to get us offended and mad at each other and judging each other and gossiping about each other, tearing each other down. Instead of, we need to have our eyes open and be able to see people as God sees them and begin to appreciate them and to see their giftings and see their potential and see that we're connected and just value each other. And we may not understand each other, but we respect and love and care. We've got a common vision and a common goals. And if we'll be willing to share, God's going to be knitting something. He's going to be joining some things. The Spirit, so stronger connections lead to spiritual growth maturing and growing up, and then spiritual growth will lead to more lives being impacted. You catch that? Bearing fruit. Mark 4, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. God's all into bearing fruit. He doesn't bear the fruit. The people bear the fruit. And as you grow and as you mature, as you grow up as a disciple, you have God's plan and you realize you're now reaching out to others. Spiritual growth will lead to more lives being impacted, bearing fruit, fruit that remains. And then these believers learn to share. That's the life, the giving life cycle. And that's what God wants to do in our midst. Now, I'm just going to ask you today, and again, I know we're all at different places, but where are you at? Have you drawn back? Have you let the enemy get in there and get you offended? Where are you at? Are you sharing? Are you growing? God wants you to grow. He's got big plans for you. But He's not just going to do it. You got to give Him something to work with. But then imagine if we begin to understand this and begin to see this, the power of this body, and begin to believe God on purpose. What about using our words in our confession? What about praying things that the Bible says to pray? Yes. What about when we have an opportunity to be offended, we just say, no, I'm not going to accept that. Or what happens if you have an ought against your brother and if we just went and got it worked out instead of just harboring it and talking to everybody else about it and getting them all riled up? God wants to do some great things in our midst. He wants to do some great things in the body of Christ. He wants to add to the church daily those being saved. But it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen because the Bible says it. It's not going to happen because I preach it. It's not going to be happen because your favorite preacher, whoever that's going to preach it. It's going to happen when you take ownership and when you take a hold of it. And when the Bible says being a hearer and a doer of the word. Now today, I mean, this message could not be preached in a lot of churches. I believe we have a lot of mature people here. Some people, you just about ready to just run, hit the door. I understand. I mean, this is. But I mean, I've been given the mission to empower people to give life. And so God gives me revelation to go along with that mission. These things I'm sharing today, I got some things from studying certain things, but it's a revelation He's showing me, showing us. It's not something I've read in some book. It's something that He's revealing to us because of the calling on our lives. And I desire, I'm sincere, I desire for each one of you to grow. I desire for each one of you to be who God made you to be. Now you'll do your ministry in the way God, different than how I do mine. But God's made you a world changer. He made you a person to impact this world. He made you to bear fruit for the kingdom. Now, in our eyes, some people are bearing more fruit. It's not about it's not a competition. God's got a plan for each one of us, but we've got to give Him some seed. We've got to give Him something to work with, and He'll take that and He'll multiply it. Y'all up for this? And then He'll empower us. His grace is upon us to do these things. You want to do life together? Should we do life together? Some of you are like, I don't know. Who wants to do some small groups? Y'all ready to do some small groups? We're not going to try it. We're going to do it. And we'll probably make some mistakes. But that's okay, right? Probably won't be in the first group you go to. May not be perfect. But we're going to have some patience, right? Yeah. We're going to work together. We're going to work it out. Because we got the big picture and we see what God wants to do. Because He wants us to grow. And we're not going to be those people that we just go one or two times, are we? Who's going to be that person? Raise your hand. You can go one or two times and quit. And then join another group and go one or two times. Now, the groups aren't going to go like Express. I mean, those groups went 5 years or more. Years and years and years. Which was too long. Leaders are getting burned out. People are getting burned out. But some groups may go 9 weeks. Some may go a few months. Some may go a year. And pray about it and seek, you know, God about it. I'm not saying you have, if it's, you know, you got to go the whole year. But I'm just saying, commit to it because of what the Lord wants to do. And in the process, everybody's going to grow. And I believe there's some people going to be leading. I mean, you're sitting here and you already know you're going to be leading a group. But I believe in that group, there's going to be others going to be raised up. They'll be able to lead a group. Or find out other parts of what their ministry, what God has for them. So come along with us. Let's do this together. We'll make mistakes and we'll mess up, but we're for each other. And we'll get this right. Because then we'll be meeting with the big group here. We're serving together on teams. But then we have the small groups as well.